Because this recording is actually a lot of work now. You all should thank Sri An and Mi Fong. They really, really. We say sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Without Sri An, I tell you, a lot of this recording not possible. And Mi Fong together helping. That's why they actually bring for a lot of condition. I remember Padmasuri. He requested for me to go and teach meditation at Sui An's house together with Mi Fong. Oh, sorry, Ying Mi. Sorry, how come I go and recall Padmasuri? Because the printing of the book. So all these are very important key Kayamita who has helped in many ways. Yeah, Ying Mi. After the first talk at Subhanjaya Buddhist Association, he came and approached me. He said, "Brother, your talk very interesting. Within 1 hour to 2 hours, you can like summarize the whole of the Dhamma inside there. All the teaching is there." Then after that, he thought, he asked, "Do you teach meditation?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can you teach, Brother? We want to learn." That's how it started. At first, Mi Fong was worried. He said, "Two of us only, you know." I said, "Never mind. One also I teach if you are sincere." So that's how the Thursday class come about. And it's already 6 years plus now. So fast. And that's how all this become possible. That's why this is affinity with Triple Gem. Anasana. If you have not taken refuge, you got no condition to have this connection. Okay, we will continue with the Dhamma now. Just now I stopped only at explaining what the five mental hindrances are. Then I only explain sensual desire and ill will. The rest of the hindrance I didn't explain. Sleepiness or sloth and torpor. This one is a very powerful hindrance if you have coming obstruction. Every time you want to meditate, you fall asleep. Or there will be coming obstruction. But you don't worry. Have faith. Maintain that faith. Otherwise, it will block you. It will obstruct you. And you cannot. Because they will come and test you. Because when you did all those things in the past, you don't know how you create obstruction for people. Understand? So now the time come, if you even have the condition because of some of your good roots, you want to come back, you have to repay all those coming obstruction. Understand? That's why they will block you. So sometimes, when you want to do something, something will happen. Just like, just now one lady told me, who was it? He said, no affinity with where? By condo one, sorry. This one is, PG. Where is PG? He said he buy condo at near Kota Damansara there. Then Mimi asked, what about Pelangi? Also very good. He said, I got no affinity. Every time I go there, either the developer close or public holiday or what? It cannot. So certain things not meant for you. Not meant for you. So Dhamma is the same. Then just I was told, where is Sia and the wife? Oh, just went out. Maybe meant to be. I want to seek their permission to share their story. You don't mind I explain a bit of your journey? Okay, thank you. I need to seek permission because sometimes people may not like it. They are the last car that came late, you remember? I think they encounter some difficulties. I think the lorry banged into your husband's car, the back. But luckily, everything worked out fine. Just imagine lorry, but only slight damage. So they reported to the police. Then they looked for workshop around Ipoh area. Then they managed to come. These are karmic obstructions that will happen. Understand not? So if you lose faith and you react to it, then it will continue to obstruct you. But if you persevere, you have faith, you determine, These are the things that I cause people. This life or condition I have to repay. I'm willing to confront it. I'm willing to actually sincerely ask for forgiveness, repentance. Yeah? And I just want to continue with this cultivation. If you determine this way, the karmic obstruction will lose its power to come and disturb. Sometimes it may come a few more times. But once it's over, completely over. There are a few kayanamita earlier on also like that. Go with me spiritual trip, first time in the plane, kena food poisoning. The only person of the whole plane or trip. He kena. Then first day, like completely cannot do anything. Until we reach Wat Pat Nanachat, I remember. He was bedridden for the whole night. Or then next morning onward, she's okay. I say, you persevere, you determine. Then you sincerely determine. Then everything will come to pass. Then after that, no more problem. Because her life also got a lot of problems. Then, because of past karmic thing, hit a lot of other things. Then this life came, repay many of this. Then when he has the condition to go to the right, what they call, the right path, the karmic obstruction come. Then even Pulian, you ask her, she got a lot. That time almost cannot come to Anandagiri. So all this, you don't worry. If you are sincere, you have faith, you persevere, nothing will happen. Okay? So now I'll explain this. Sometimes sloth and torpor, it can happen. And you feel very lethargic, you just sleepy. Then you give up. Yeah, not for me, la, meditation. Cannot lah. Every time I close my eye, I fall asleep. If that is your attitude, then the coming obstruction gains strength. Then you don't know how to go about actually transcending it or overcoming. So sloth and torpor can arise in many ways. Sometimes it's coming obstruction, sometimes it's a test. I remember at one time during the early days when I meditated, I was already very stable with my daily mindfulness, everything now. My spiritual faculty is very strong already. Actually, this hindrance all cannot come already. Then there was one day, for no reason, it made my mind so sleepy, Because I'm so mindful, that's why I know. Then I knew something is happening. How come like that? Then I accept whatever that arises. I don't want to react. I don't want to do anything. I just silent and I go with it. Then all of a sudden inside the nature say, it's a test. Oh, so beautiful. Then after that I silent. Then I just allow the mind to be with the hindrance. I didn't do anything with the sleepiness. All of a sudden there is a shift in consciousness. There was a very bright light. All of a sudden. Then, just within that flip of the moment, sloth and torpor completely wiped off, no more. Then the mind, full of awareness, bright and clear. And then from that day until today, no more, they will come and disturb me. So you must understand, sometimes this hindrance can come in many ways. As you go through the cultivation, you will start to see a lot of these tests coming in. Especially after you have progressed, the test will come. Then sometimes the test can be very, very traumatic. It can involve your loved ones. My test was my mother and my son. Other people cannot test me. That same period, suddenly my mother heart attack enter ICU. Then my son, accident, compound fracture. Then I knew. I said, cannot be. What else can it be? Because everything I have done, this nature, no. Then the moment I understood, my mind that I didn't react at all, nothing. Then I just attend to it. I just do what I have to do. The moment I understand there is a test, straight away, you know, my mother turned around and my son got a perfect fix. Because these are the karmic that they have to understand. The condition is such, it will manifest. Because when you need to be tested, these are the people who are the one that has the condition. It will happen. Yeah. That's why you don't unnecessarily go and worry about all this. There was one other Kayanamita. This one I will share with you. She cultivated until when she reached a point where she was to be tested, no, but because she was not married, no. Then you know what happened, no? He got a brother who is very much younger than her, no? 34 years old, a healthy brother. For no reason, he went to Hong Kong. It seems according to her, he ate some seafood there. Then came back, landed in the hospital. And within 5 days, he passed away. Then later on, when she wrote to me, then I say, very likely it's a test. You know what she said or not? If I know it's like that, I don't want to be tested. Is it? See, people's mind can still react that way. I say, it's not for you to say whether you want or you don't want. Karma, law of karma is like that. When condition is like that, it will be like that. Understand or not? Even without you, when the time up, things will happen. Sometimes it can be worst type of accident, or worst type of calamity, because the life force, the time is up. That's why all this, the condition will arise, it will happen. So when it's supposed to happen, things will happen. So cultivation is to be developed with understanding. So I remember Master Sun Hua told me in one of the talks, sorry, he didn't tell me. In one of the talks, I listened to it and I believe what he said was very wise. Of course, he said in Mandarin. In English, the translation is something like that. He said, whatever that happened to you in your life, initially it may appear very, very negative, like very, very serious like that. But if you perceive it with wholesomeness and you follow Noble Eightfold Path, it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Oh, I rejoice like anything when I heard that talk. I say, yeah, this is what my understanding is also the same. That's why if you don't perceive any life situation with negativity, you just go about cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. It will become a blessing in disguise. It will turn around. Because nothing free except Noble Eightfold Path. The Buddha, specifically under the fourth noble truth, he said, there is a noble truth, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha said, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why this is the meditation, Anasana. This is the one that can end all suffering. So whatever you confront in life, no matter how serious, how negative, always remember, be at peace to accept that reality. There are causes and conditions behind. Don't react, don't panic, don't fear, and don't do all those foolish things. Just accept it. Have a clear mind. Then go about doing what you need to do, following Noble Eightfold Path. Have right view. Means there are causes and conditions behind. Very likely it's karma. So I accept. Then, if I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. I need to repent, I repent. Then after that, determine not to repeat all this, not to allow all this to happen again. Then after that, cultivate sincerely. Arise right speech, right action, right thought. Then right effort, right mindfulness, right samadhi. So all this will bring about the transformation in you. It will bring about the wholesomeness in you. Because Noble Eightfold Path is basically the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. There is no other method or teaching or meditation except Noble Eightfold Path. So coming back to the hindrance is the same. When any of the hindrance hit you, you do not react. Don't try to control, suppress or react. Don't try to do anything with it. Accept that. Accept it for what it is. Then reflect, contemplate on the words of the Buddha. They are there because of past causes, mainly karmic, heedlessness, delusion. So what you need is the opposite five spiritual faculty. So strive on with heedfulness to cultivate spiritual faculty. Why heedfulness? Because the Buddha knew. These five spiritual faculty, like I explained just now, the faith and virya you can develop. No need to cultivate, you can develop through contemplation, through understanding who the Buddha is and how wonderful the teaching is. Then after that, you have to develop mindfulness. That's why heedfulness is most important. Without the faith, sadha, virya, where these are spiritual faculty, you cannot understand his teaching. So you need spiritual faculty to understand spiritual teaching. That's why the spiritual faculty has to be there. And without sati, you are as if dead, the Buddha said. The heedless are as if dead. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. Whereas the moment you are heedful, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. You open up the Heart Sutta, it's all in the notes there. There are many sessions on heedfulness, and I repeated the Dhammapada verse. So the moment you understand the importance of heedfulness means to be ever mindful to cultivate noble eightfold path, then what are you waiting? That's why you determine to cultivate mindfulness, stabilize it, use it to cultivate four noble truth. Noble eightfold path. And that's what you have to do. The whole retreat is just on this. Sana. So faith and virya, sadha and virya, I already taught you how to reflect, how to contemplate, and how to develop the strong faith, and how to pay respect and all those things. When you do all this, the puja, you not only develop the faith, you develop all the wholesomeness, understand? All these are meritorious action, no? Reverential salutation, rejoicing, then taking refuge and all those things. Then renewing your precepts, listening to the Dhamma, straightening your views. Then you help out in whatever Dhamma activity, service. Then you share merit, transfer merit, end of the session. So all these are part of the 10 meritorious action. And you can invoke the power of merits and make aspiration at the time, which you do after your closing puja, so that you can aspire for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one. So that enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So all this is going to help you with your cultivation. And they are also beautiful. And you cannot connect them and see them so clearly, you will not do, understand? That's why you will have sleepiness. You will not have virya. So what I want to show you is how they actually counteract. When you got sadha and virya, this one, no more, understand not? Sleepiness, understand not? Yeah? Sloth and torpor, no more. Then when you have faith, yeah? Your mind is very composed, there is no more doubt, understand not? When faith is developed, there is no more doubt. True or not? Can follow or not? Yeah? Then this restlessness, what is it? How does the mind become restless? It's a mental hindrance, isn't it? When you are restless means what? You have problem, isn't it? Problem with life. What are your problem? First noble truth, reality, anasana. Either old age sickness or death, or separation, or with people whom you don't like, cannot get what you want, or you attach and hold on to something. Like health problem, financial problem. In modern words or language, they call this, old age sickness is health problem, isn't it? Yeah? Cannot get what you want is financial problem, isn't it? Yeah? Then you have relationship problem, separation. Then you have what they call career problem, understand not? Police case, life-related problem. Then when you have all this problem, what happened? You got fear. You develop worry, anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation. All this fear, worry, and anxiety make you very restless, isn't it? When you have fear, when you are worried, how is your mind state? Huh? Very restless, isn't it? People call you also, you don't know. They will see in you, hey, what is happening to you today? Why you are so uneasy? But you got a lot of fear, a lot of worry inside. That's why your mind is so restless. And there's no clarity. You cannot make good decision. That's why without meditation, you cannot overcome restlessness. This is the biggest problem for humanity. Restlessness of mind. The mind is not peaceful, not calm. It has a lot of worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. And these are the things that will make you miserable. So how do you overcome this one? Restlessness. Yeah? How? Yeah? Sati. Very good. Can I explain a little bit? Who was the one who answered Sati? Oh, very good. How to overcome through Sati? Yeah. Pass the mic. Very good. Let her answer. Very good. Pass the mic. You repeat the mic. Thank you so much. For the recording, where we can hear you, recording cannot hear you. Thank you so much. Repeat. Push all the way.
For restlessness, yes. In order to overcome, you would have sati.
Yes.
When you are awareness, very you are good. More mindful. Yeah. That's where you already know what is happening. It's already in that calm, silent mind.
Okay, very good, very good.
That's where your restlessness can be.
Sadhu. Okay, very good. She almost got it, but can be explained in a clearer manner. Very good. When you have sati, means what? What is the definition? Awareness before the knowing. Okay? No knowing means what? No perception, no thought. Understand? No thought, where got fear? Where got worry? Where got anxiety? Understand? That's why when you are with the moment without thought, you are so peaceful. That's why I always say sati is also equivalent to the silent mind. Understand? Silent mind. Or meditative mind. Understand not? Or paucity. The tranquility, stillness of mind. Can you remember that? Yeah? So that's why when you are in sati, you are mindful, aware, without thought. Without thought means what? You don't have fear, worry, anxiety. Understand? Then how can your mind be restless? Your mind will just be peaceful, aware, silent. But when you have attachment, delusion, and then you cannot be mindful. That's why these are hindrances. Because your faith is not strong. Your wisdom is not strong. If you don't have wisdom, you will have all these hindrances because you have delusion. So this wisdom is to overcome self-delusion. All of ignorance. So this one is to overcome. That's why without wisdom, you cannot free your mind. You cannot liberate your mind. Understand? Let us say sadhu to her. Sadhu. Very good. Then, when it comes to mindfulness, sati. Once you have this, it will overcome restlessness. So I use this one, the red color. So mindfulness will overcome restlessness. Okay? Then samadhi. How does samadhi come into place? Samadhi, this one. How does it help? What is samadhi? Unwavering collectedness of mind. Unwavering mind. Means what? When you live life in your daily life, not only in the retreat, no, in the retreat, sure, unwavering and collected. Nobody disturb you. Everybody keep the precept, and the environment is so conducive. Understand? So chances of you having this type of what they call restlessness and all things are much lower. That's why when you are in a retreat, it's a conditioned state. You may be very peaceful, then you may be very calm. Then it's like you are enlightened. But when you're out of the retreat, you go back to square one. Why? Because these are conditioned state. You must have mindfulness, heedfulness in the midst of life. That is the real meditation, asana. That's why daily mindfulness. If you are only peaceful in the retreat, in a conditioned state environment, then you are not guaranteed that in the midst of life, when you are confronted with so many of this noble truth reality, the first noble truth reality, can you still cope with life? Can your mind still not stir and react? That's why this samadhi is very important. When you are in daily life, what happens? It's not like in the retreat, no? Everybody smile with you, sadhu, rejoice, eh? Then peaceful, monk, nun, yogi, all very, very friendly. In the midst of life, you can meet with a lot of funny people, no? Especially if you go to work. Eh? A lot of bosses are not so friendly nowadays. No? There are a lot of your colleagues, eh? Or people whom you don't like, they are not so friendly. Then you encounter life, you go through life, you encounter so many problems in life. Then what happens when you see something that recall memory and make you unhappy or miserable? Your mind will stir, isn't it? Or you hear people backbite, say bad things about you. What happens? Your mind inside not happy, isn't it? Then you want to do something, isn't it? Such a mind got no samadhi, anasana. Samadhi means this mind is unwavering and collected. Means in the midst of life, when you confront life, when you go into life, every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel or think, the mind is unwavering, anasana. It does not stir. That is the stability of heedfulness that you must have. Heedfulness means ever mindful. When mindfulness becomes continuous, what happens? This will bring us back to last time Ing Bi went through this. She realized this. Let's say these two are thoughts. First thought. Then the next thought. This one second. Or next thought. This is a space between thought. Yeah? Space between. Human beings' problem is you are so heedless, this space don't exist. Understand? Understand? You don't have space at all. You think a lot. You worry a lot. You have a lot of restlessness and fear. Because the heedless think a lot. So that's why you must be ever mindful. When you are ever mindful means what? You are just aware, no thought. Understand not? Then when you are just aware, after a while, then one perception. Okay, understand not? Yeah, there is space. Then perception. Understand? This is not an active thought. If it's an active thought, then it will go round. Understand not? It will proliferate. It will create story. And you will be lost in it. Then you become heedless again. Yeah. But it's just one perception, then silent again, then another perception, then silent again. Then it's beautiful. Understand now? That ever mindful means continuous awareness. Understand now? Until throughout the day, that's why I say, don't try to know, just aware, silent. Then you are like throughout the day without thought. Understand now? That space becomes more and more, more and more, more and more. Then you realize one day, hardly any thought. You can only reach this when you have great wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot. When you have straightened your views, when you have developed the daily mindfulness until very clear, when you can see the defilement all very clearly, then this samadhi initially is to help you. Because when you develop mindfulness until it's so stable, like more or less continuous, then this stability of mindfulness, even in daily life, yeah, it does not stir. Understand? When you see something, hear something, it does not stir. Just like just now, Brother Tiong. You remember that fear? Remember? That fear that arise? When that fear arise, because of the cold wind, the chill, like some energy beside, somebody, some being is beside. That fear, when it arise, what happens? Fear is a mental state, isn't it? Negative energy field, isn't it? Then what happened? He just silent, be with it, understand not? How come he can do that? He can do that because he has understanding, understand not? If you don't have understanding, you cannot do that. But later on, after he developed further understanding through contemplation, then not only understanding of what to do, you know, he will have samadhi. That's why I say have to develop the contemplation, then develop the stability of that mindfulness until daily life also he has that. Understand now? So when there is this stability of samadhi, when that so-called thing come, because of your samadhi, the fear cannot arise. Understand now? That's why this one is in a way like suppression. Understand? But it's not suppression. Because initially, you need to understand it. To see clearly, see things as they are. So initially, when it arises very fast, then straight away the samadhi can come in, the understanding can come in. It just stay there. Understand? Then it take over. Then after he's silent and the thing disappears, then he realized like what the Buddha taught under the Dhammanupassana, the fourth foundation of mindfulness. What did the Buddha say? Trace the origination factor. Understand? Then retrospectively reverse it. How do you trace? Then you realize it's through one of the sense door, understand not? Tactile, the body feel, understand not? The chill energy, understand not? So through tactile, the mind stir, understand not? Then it understand that this is the origination factor of fear, understand not? Fear is one of the hindrance connected to doubt and restlessness. Fear of the unknown, delusion, connected to delusion. So the Buddha said, when this hindrance arises, the first category of cultivation is to be mindful of the mental hindrance. When the mental hindrance has arisen, you must be aware. Then when the mental hindrance has disappeared or passed away, you must also be aware. So if you are aware of how it arises and how it disappears, means you understand, isn't it? Clear or not? Means you have traced the origination factor. Means through tactile consciousness it arises. Because your right view is still not there, that's why it arises. You cannot stop. Understand? Then you contemplate and reflect. If there is the situation, next time when I confront the same sense object, like Sabba Asava Sutta say, I have to exercise the development of the spiritual faculty or the seven factors of enlightenment. Means I must develop upekkha. Upekkha is the last factor of enlightenment. Upekkha is samadhi with wisdom. Understand that? Samadhi with wisdom. Samadhi without wisdom is not upekkha. Yeah. But there can be upekkha without wisdom on energy field, continuous mindfulness. That's why if you go too deep into it, it becomes apana samadhi. Then the mind cannot move. It's not a natural state of free mind. That's why you have to release this back to natural daily mindfulness, awareness, so that this mind is a free mind, but not in absorption, but it's in what they call upachara samadhi. Kanika samadhi is not enough. They call it the moment-to-moment awareness. Actually, it's not moment-to-moment. They try to note, they think it's moment-to-moment. It's not moment. If it's moment-to-moment awareness, it will become a stream and flow into upachara samadhi. Because that is not really continuous mindfulness in daily life. Continuous mindfulness in daily life is that awareness is with the specific phenomena all the while. That's why it flows with it. No break on. That's why later on, when your mind is in sati, when it has become stabilized, when your mind is already in sati, you don't need object of meditation. You don't need anything to hold it. That's why Huineng, the sixth patriarch, say the mind must have no dwelling. The mind cannot dwell anywhere. The moment it dwells, It is not the true mind. It has attachment. It has hold on to something else. So that's why the specific phenomenon awareness, you flow with it, but you don't go and perceive it, understand? Like the moving car. Yeah. Then your true sati, you will have two types. One is the what they call spacious awareness, without a center, without anything to hold it. It's just spacious, like oneness with everything. You're just silent. That true mind, that true nature is connected to whole of the existence, the oneness. The other one is you use it to live life. All your sense experience, every moment of arising, like seeing, it will flow with the external phenomena, like moving car. The awareness and the moving car as one. No concept, no perception, nothing. It just flows. That's why when you see, I ask you to see with a silent mind. You see with a silent mind, you realize the phenomena will... It just flow with this awareness. Wherever your awareness, it will flow. It has physical flow, your physical body. Then it has mental flow, your mind movement, whatever. Then you have what they call the third one, nature's phenomena. It will also flow. Like the moving cloud, the moving leaves, moving car, or anything that move and sway. Then in the stillness itself, you can also be with that nature. That's why you call it spacious awareness and specific phenomenal awareness. And to develop the understanding to live life, you need the specific phenomenal awareness. Otherwise, you cannot live. And without thought, you cannot live. To live life, you have to use thought. You have to apply thought. But use it where necessary. Understand that? Like computer. Random access memory. When you need only you access. Don't go and keep on. Every day also try to recall. Miss what? You got worry, understand? Because you accumulate all these scars of memory. You know what is scars of memory? All your fear, all your suffering, all your unhappiness, your phobia. Whatever that happened to you, you remember because you went through a very traumatic experience. Or something that impact you very seriously. Then all these are accumulated as memory inside there. Then what happened? Your mind has phobia, fear. This is your unreleased one. That's why it has attachment to all this. That's why every time there is condition, it will arise. At night when you sleep also, you will release out. Subconscious release, unconscious release. Then in the midst of life, when you see something that makes you recall, straight away that fear arises, that phobia, that unhappiness arises. This is how your form and mind develop delusion. Because of attachment, clinging, craving, holding on to all this type of thing. Why can't you be like the computer, no emotion? Yeah? You remember computer? They got this chip, what you call? RAM. What is RAM? Random access memory, understand? ROM is read only memory. So random access means when I need it, I access it, understand? Then I don't have to carry it. There is no more burden. Then it will not trigger off fear and all those things, understand? Because these are my useful information. That's why you only keep in the memory all the important thing. Why you go and remember your fear, your phobia, your misery, your suffering? You got nothing better to do. Understand? You only need to remember how you sign your check to withdraw money. Where you stay. Who are your good friend, your true friend, your normal friend. And how to attend Tuesday talk. Thursday. Why you go and remember how your mother-in-law scold you? And how your husband do all this to you? All these are not worth accumulating. Understand? But he will be very funny, you know. They hold on to it so strongly because of what? Self-delusion. Because they think their ego has been hurt. Understand not? H-U-R-D. You know, eh? Not H-E-A-R-D. Your ego has been hurt. H-U-R-D. So when you start to develop this understanding, then your cultivation becomes very different. Then you know samadhi is to assist you to see things with clarity. When it doesn't stir, what happens? You can see things as they are, understand not? Then you realize without the word and the concept, it cannot create this delusion, understand not? All the delusion come from what? Words and concept. What are words? I got no more space. What are words? Words are created by thought, isn't it? Created by thought to divide, understand not? I give you one word, race. Wow, Chinese, Malay, Indian, Matsalai, and all those things. Then you divide how? You create conflict, misunderstanding. We have word, divide. Religion, again, you fight already, understand not? Oh. Then relative, husband and wife. That's why they create. That's why Krishnamurti said, Jay Krishnamurti said, you must be mindful and fully aware of the danger and limitation of thought. We are thought create words to divide. Understand not? Thought create idea and concept to divide. Understand not? Yeah. They can come out with a lot of words. So, understand not? Make love and not war. But words only, you know. When you go for negotiation, yeah, or all those conference, whatever that benefit me is the peace I want. If it doesn't benefit the U.S., American interest first, that is not the peace they are going to sign with you. So that's why peace is no longer the real peace. Peace is peace according to the powerful nation. Then when you have this type of thought operating, you can never have true love, true peace, and true understanding of things. Everything becomes idea, concept. They form words. Then they play with the words. Then they cause enmity, conflict, divide. So when you see the limitation of thought and how thought divide and create all this duality and suffering, then you realize you must have a mind that can see things as they are, with equanimity, no words. Then thing is just the way it is, understand? Then no word means what? No right, no wrong. How can it be no right, no wrong? You will ask me that. Yeah, the Buddha very wise. When you say he is wrong or she is wrong, what you mean? What do you mean? No, wrong according to you, understand? To your mother-in-law, she is right. But to you, how can your mother-in-law treat you like that and all things? But to you, you think your mother-in-law don't have that right to do all those things to you. I use mother-in-law easy to understand. Then your mother-in-law think differently, you know, is it? Huh. This one, my daughter-in-law, you know, so low in ranking, you know, want to be funny with me, you know. I'm the mother-in-law, you know, you never respect me. You know. So how? She is also right, isn't it? Right according to her, you know. Then he say, according to Chinese tradition in China, you must respect your mother-in-law. They are the head of the family. Also. So words, you can play with it, understand? And justify and create all this division. That's how you have conflict, misunderstanding, argument. So when you see the limitation, then you learn to see things as they are, without word. Without word, what happened? Yeah. Like just now I told you all, the bell, the drum, remember? Ring. When you listen with the concept and the word, oh, drum, you straight away say bell, drum. Are you listening? I ask you this question. Are you listening? You are not listening. When you use the concept and believe, you already listen. And I tell you, when you listen from your heart, without word, no drum, no bell, that vibration, I have to use word, that so-called consciousness that arises, and you go and listen. And that one is pure. No word on. Then that vibration is so beautiful. From emptiness it comes on. So all this, if you have developed the understanding of what these spiritual faculties are, then you know how to apply. You know how to develop the mindfulness-based meditation. You know how to live life with awareness. No more allowing the thought to control you, understand? Because thought actually take control of you. Thought create so much delusion in you, and you still believe Thot, and you think he's your good friend. Actually, that is the one that caused you a lot of suffering. But actually, you cannot blame him, understand? No? Because I always share with you, Kayan Mita, Thot is like money. You know what is money? They say money is the source of all evil. You believe or not? You don't believe. Why? Because got people got money, they do funny things. A lot of men got money, become funny. Do a lot of funny things. Then some people, they hire assassin. That's why money is the source of all evil, they say. But it's not money. It's the use of money. Understand? If the use of money is evil, then money become evil. But if the use of money has wisdom and wholesomeness, love and compassion, then he use this money for good causes. Donate to good causes, help people, then money become wholesome, good, understand? So it's not money, it's the use of money. So the Thot is the same. You cannot blame Thot, you cannot blame high tech, you cannot blame society. It's the user of Thot, understand? Whether the form and mind is connected to the nature and through the direct seeing with the spiritual faculty, develop wisdom or not. So if the form and mind has wisdom and is wise, it's not deluded. Then it cannot be deceived by the Thot. Then Thot become beautiful. He can use Thot. He can live life to the fullest. He can experience everything to the fullest. He can experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Be with the moment to experience them. And these are possible. Consciousness. That's why in the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva said, when you penetrate true emptiness is wonderful existence. Your life becomes wonderful. Existence becomes wonderful. And this is also what Sakyamuni teach under the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. When you penetrate the Dhamma, you develop the understanding, you become enlightened. Then you can live the life of an enlightened being, Pativeda. And that is the most beautiful part of your life. So the Heart Sutta and Sakyamuni teaching is the same. Tomorrow I will read to you the Heart Sutta, the introduction and the acknowledgement. It's all written there. It's meant to help you understand that Mahayana teaching and Theravada is the same, exactly the same. Words are different, but those who understand, they are the same teaching. Okay? So almost 5 more minutes left. I have to summarize. Okay. So, with wisdom and samadhi developed, when there is samadhi, again, there is no restlessness because the mind is unwavering. That's why you can overcome restlessness. Then, once you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, without word, without concept. The Buddha called it jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. No words, no concept. You see things as they are. That's why you see truth. You develop wisdom. That's how, when wisdom is developed, sensual desire, ill will, no more. Understand? Sensual desire and ill will, no more. Then doubt also, no more. All the hindrance, all, no more. So with the accumulation of wisdom, the mind liberates. So this is how, when you understand, you will zero in and emphasize on cultivating the 5 spiritual faculty. Then you see the importance of puja. You see the importance of developing very strong faith, sadha and virya, to drive you to cultivate sati. That's why you can sacrifice, you can develop the faith, the sincerity, and just walk this way. You can persevere, you got no more doubt because of your refuge, of your understanding. And when you do that, the way is there for you. You will awaken. Because the Buddha already promised you, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Verse 21, Dhammapada. Okay? Can follow that? Yeah, you can rejoice. Don't be shy. Thank you. we will now do the sharing of merits and transformation. You take out your chanting book, huh? You turn to page 10. Oh, sorry. Not page 10, huh? At the back, is it? Ah, okay, page 14, huh? Page 14. Sharing of merits with all the devas. Page 14, huh? Okay, we will chant together, huh? We will share merits with all the devas, huh? Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. We don't have to chant the rest. We go to Ittavatta straight away. Yeah? Ittavatta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Then we transfer merits to departed ones and others who can receive them. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will chant the blessing for the nation. Page 15, Patana, under Patana. Deo vasadukalena sasu sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season, and may there be a rich, and may there be the right condition for all good fortune. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Then we chant our aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened, until nibbana is finally realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the Buddhas and great Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Tonight is your first night, so you should rest early. So try to get ready for tomorrow too. Tomorrow our schedule is, you're supposed to wake up at 5:45, if I'm not wrong. Then you're supposed to come in at 6:15. So 5:45 to 6:15, you get yourself ready. Those who want to join the chanting down there, the Supu and the nun of this temple, they have it, I think, is it 5:30? They start at 5:30, is it? I forgot already. What time did they start? Never mind, you find out yourself. If you want to join them, they have their chanting. Then, after that, 6:15, you come up. Then we will have our morning puja, followed by simple mindfulness exercise. So bring along your weight. Okay, I see you. Good night.
Remember to off the light and the cushion. Try to tidy it up. Put it properly, neatly.